Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever felt like you've tried everything to heal from the pain of sexual abuse, and yet nothing seems to really be helping? Well, one of the reasons why most people struggle to break free from the pain of past child abuse is because the techniques out there are positioned as a one-size-fits-all answer. What I want you to know is that there are actually three distinct phases on the path to recovery, and I'd love to share with you about these phases, what issues you must resolve to move to the next phase, and what kinds of support you'll need in order to move forward as quickly and completely as possible. The road to recovery is much easier when you know what stage you're in and what to do next. So don't hesitate. Go to www.rachelgrantcoaching.com/checklist and get your 9-page guide today. Now, on to our show. Welcome, everyone, to Beyond Surviving, the safe space for survivors of childhood sexual abuse to receive support, resources, and share their stories. Beyond Surviving is about freedom, healing, connection, and even laughter and fun. Most importantly, it's about letting go of the pain of abuse and finally moving on. I'm Rachel Grant, and for those of you who don't yet know me, I've been a sexual abuse recovery coach since 2007 and am the author of Beyond Surviving, the final stage of recovery from sexual abuse. You can learn more about me and the Beyond Surviving program at rachelgrantcoaching.com. Now, my guest today is Chris Times. With a Bachelor of Science degree in Christian Leadership and Biblical Studies and a Master of Arts in Counseling, Chris specializes in anxiety, trauma, sexual, physical, and emotional abuse, addictive process such as gambling and shopping and substance abuse, and workplace violence. Since 1990, he's been assisting his clients in creating opportunities where each of them discover ways to become who they are meant to be through finding ways to become unstuck, leaving painful patterns of being and discovering new ways of relating to the self and to the world in which they live, breathe, and have their being, oftentimes using movement and self-mobility.
Now, one of the reasons why I'm particularly thrilled to have Chris here today is because he and I have been in contact for many years now, but this is our first time actually getting to connect live and in person. We've always been on, you know, the Facebook. And Chris also serves as a comment moderator for our closed Healing from Sexual Abuse Facebook group. So he volunteers his time and gives of himself so graciously to that community. And I'm so very thankful for that. And I'm very excited to have Chris here to share his story and his wisdom when it comes to healing from trauma. So Chris, welcome. Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me, Rachel. This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm so glad that we have this time to connect. And I'd like to start us off with just giving you some space to share a bit of your story with our listeners.
Well, you know, I basically had some trauma when I was three and a half years old. I was a sickly kid. You know, my mom always told me stuff like, oh, you're just sickly and that's just how you were. But some things, even when I was little, didn't make sense as to how, you know, I was relating to myself. And even as a very young child, I knew that something wasn't quite right. Something was off. But of course, I was told that, you know, I was crazy and I was self-conscious and, oh, you're just a sensitive person or you're too sensitive or why are you crying all the time? I was discounted in every possible way relating to my personal experiences, the way I felt, the way I perceived the world around me, from things that I was seeing, hearing, and understanding as being true. Those things were totally discounted. And so I literally kind of like forgot who I was. And so, but I start having flashbacks about around 41 years old. And those things were so real. It was incredible. I always heard about them, but I never really experienced them. And this was right before I decided to go to grad school for my master's degree. And what happened was really incredible. I start seeing actual events take place that that had to have been deep in my subconscious while I was like watching TV on a Saturday. It was a sunny day. I had no reason to be thinking about anything traumatic. I was watching, I think, a football game or something at the time, sitting on my sofa. And the next thing I knew, a vision flashed in front of my face that was so real that it caused me to have an anxiety attack. And that was incredible. And that opened up a lot of other doors that continued to open. So I found out through those experiences that my mom may have molested me when I was 3 years old. I know one of her girlfriends did because she confronted me at a funeral around that time, told me things that validated a lot of things that I had been feeling and perceiving my entire life. And so it just really kind of started, things started to connect in a way that was, for me, I guess, reconnecting with my body in a way that I hadn't before. So that's kind of what I noticed. I just remember some weird things too, like the number three stood out for me, but I didn't connect at the time that three is when I was molested, you know, by these women, you know. And there are other things. One particular flashback I had was literally me standing in our old house when I was very young, staring at the sofa with, I think, my mom or somebody on the sofa telling me to come here. And then there was no one else in the home. But that makes sense because I was often kept back. I have five brothers, so I was kept back on a lot of occasions, and I was told, you're sick, you have to stay home.
Right.
But I did not feel sick. So that created some problems. So that's kind of my history a little bit of the things that had happened with me.
Thank you, Chris, for sharing a little bit of your story with us. And, you know, what really stands out to me is this moment in your 40s where the flashbacks begin. And I know so many survivors, and certainly so many of my clients, have that experience where, like, out of the blue, it's like just a normal day, you're going along, mm-hmm. and then boom, there are those thoughts, there are those feelings, there are those memories. And making sense of that and sorting all of that out, what do you recall as being kind of most helpful for you when that started? When you started to have these memories and all these feelings were arising, was there anything that you recall at that time that was particularly soothing or helpful in that moment?
For me, I felt like I was falling down a well of sorts, and I was just grasping for any type of support.
Yeah.
There's literally one thing that really kind of caused me to be stable, and that was my faith in God and the fact that I knew that something greater had to come out of all of this trauma, all of this mess,
yeah.
that I was told wasn't, my mom literally told me when I was, you know, like 17, 18, oh, you're crazy, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, this is even more traumatic because I'm trying to, quote unquote, deny my own experiences.
Right.
And so it's just one of those things that my faith has been constant for me my entire life. My parents weren't really constant because I wasn't supported. And it seemed like a lot of other people in my family circle
uh-huh.
knew what was going on, you know, Rachel, and they never said anything about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and these were educators. These are, you know, these are people who knew about human growth and development and things like that, and they turned a blind eye to all of the things that were going on, and some of them knew more than others, and it's like really mm-hmm. traumatic thinking about how many times I was neglected in that regard also.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's such a painful experience to, you know, first of all, be trying to, I think, you know, what I hear from a lot of my clients who go through this is finding the truth in their experience. I mean, even those of us who have very clear, explicit memories for the entire time, like from the get-go, can find ourselves trying to deny the experience and maybe that didn't really happen. And then when you have this moment of recall of memory and you have lots of people around you denying the experience, telling you all sorts of things about yourself, it kind of creates this additional hurdle for you to overcome in the healing process. But heal you did. And not only that, have gone on to use everything that you've experienced to be able to support others. So I want to get a little bit into some of the, for you, like some of the pillars that have been so critical. And you've already started by talking about how God was really an important piece for you. So maybe we'll start there. To your mind, what role does spirituality play in healing?
For me, you know, growing up, I just kind of had an idea of going to church and doing Bible study and the normal types of things that you would do if you go to church or synagogue or a mosque. And so that was my connection. But as I grew and as I became aware of who I am and in relation to the planet, in relation to the universe, in relation to God, I started to see something that was common, and the common element there was connection between something greater than me, something more divine, something supreme, someone who actually cared about me, loved me unconditionally, opposed to conditional love or no love at all, someone who had a really positive energy source. For me, that's God, and how I could actually draw without any type of compromise or issue of apology, pulling down unconditional love within that framework really helped me grow and blossom.
Yeah. I love that, you know, tapping into something that gives us a stronger sense of who we are. Mm-hmm. And for many, many people, that is spirituality. That is God. It's like this something outside of ourselves that we can tap into that says, hey, this is, let me tell you the truth about who you are. You know, this abuse has taught you all sorts of lies about who you are. And there is another truth. And some people, excuse me, access that, you know, through God. Excuse me, guys. And some people, you know, find other resources. But I love that you were able to use that as an anchor to help you find that sense of self that then propelled you forward, you know, in your life.
Yeah.
And my guess is, Chris, because you do have such an anchor and such a strong connection in Christian leadership studies and these sorts of things, that people come to you maybe sometimes with confusion about that, I'm wondering. And for many people, their relationship to God or to spirituality has been harmed by abuse, mm-hmm. right? There's the why would God let this happen question, and these sorts of things. Did you ever struggle with that question? And if so, how did you resolve it?
I did struggle. I got mad at God. Oh, my gosh. I threw temper tantrums. I yelled at God. And I remember one particular day, oh my gosh, it was at night around 9 o'clock or so. I was in the middle of my funk and I was yelling at God and just kind of in my apartment. And I took a drive and I went down and went to Big Lots for whatever reason. And
right on.
And I was in the, and I was the whole time, you know how you do that mind think, talk type self-talk thing, and I was doing all of that, and I was going down the aisles, pissed off at God, just giving him a piece of my mind type of thing. Why you let this happen to me, and you messed up my life, and all that. And so when I got, and I said, I want answers, and I was like being, you know, pretty demanding in my head. And as soon as I walked up to the checkout, this lady, it's a black lady with two grandkids, sitting in front of me, standing in front of me checking out. And you know, the weirdest thing happened is she checked out and she left, and then she came back. And then she met me as I checked out, and then she says, God told me to tell you something. And she started answering the same questions that I was posing to God. And that right there stopped me dead in my tracks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, there's no coincidence with this.
Right. Yeah.
I was asking questions and this lady stopped what she was doing and she actually answered these questions. There's no way she could have known what was going on in my head.
Wow.
And so that caused me to go on a deliberate journey to seek more about, because I, you know, my initial thought growing up was the regular, you know, Sunday school Bible study type of thing about God. To hear this particular moment in time caused me to look deeper. There's way more about God than what I was taught or had been exposed to. There's a personal being there and a personal element there that he reached out literally to me and answered the very questions I was asking in haste and in anger. And
right.
So I started to search then outside of the norm to see what is this. And so I really believe that that opened another door for me to just kind of step beyond quote unquote religion and move towards a spirituality piece. So that's what I share with my clients when I see them in group. And this is my famous line from Virginia to Texas, my famous line. And this is my rule. I said, I can't talk. And I'll tell them, I can't talk. I don't talk about God or spirituality or whomever you. But I said, but if you bring it up, then now I have license to talk about it.
Back door open. I'm coming in. You got her coming in. Yeah.
And invariably, they all agree. Yeah, okay, you know, and that's how it goes. And so it's. That's kind of a pillar for me that I've noticed that a lot of people can relate to in one way or another.
So, Chris, what do you say when somebody's hurting and they're in that place of pain and they're hurting in relationship to God or spirituality or universe or anything you want to call it, and they're like, why did he, she, it, you know, let this happen to me? Mm-hmm. How do you counsel someone in that moment? What do you usually say?
I kind of go back to how I was feeling when I was asking those same questions. And I pretty much hold the space for them. I don't lecture. I never lecture. I don't push off what I believe or my experiences about God on anybody ever. I hold the space and I allow that individual to process if they want to, and to connect in any way that's good for them or relevant for them. And if that turns out to be a conversation about God, fine. If it doesn't, fine. If it turns out that they're just connecting with the universal energy or whatever they want to call, fine. I can talk about it. I can draw from my education and biblical studies and just pull from there and talk about that and just kind of express some type of kinship. I can meet people where they are.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my whole thing about it. And if you want to, some of my best friends, it's like, hey, I've had friends who would say, Chris, I don't, believe in God. This is in Virginia. I don't believe in God, and these are, people who hadn't really kind of reconciled their trauma, their trauma past. But then they say, but could you pray for me? And I would say, sure. It's about holding the space for me. For me, it's about holding the space and allowing somebody or somebodies to pull out whatever it is they need to pour out.
I love that, Chris. Yeah, sometimes when we're in the space of coach or supporter, we want to try to fill in those blanks. And there are some big questions that we don't always have the answers to. Mm-hmm. And so just giving love and support to someone who's in that struggle and letting them find their way through that fog and come to that place of resolution in a way that makes sense for them. Mm-hmm. And, that really, I think, brings us to the second piece that we wanted to touch on today, which, we've been talking a little bit about how having a connection to a universal power, a power that's greater than us, can soothe us and comfort us in many times of need. But we also need connection, here on the, on the material realm, if you will. And I know that you have a lot to say about how connection can help a person adjust to trauma. So can you say a little bit more about that and why that's so important for us to be connected?
Oh, yeah. When I do groups, and I do groups in a hospital setting and also in a clinic setting, that tends to come up. When I was doing my graduate work, that particular came up. There was one thing that came up. It was connection or the lack thereof. There's a disruption that happens with every human being when they experience trauma, either sexual, physical, or the like. Those traumas cause a disruption to take place, I believe, with your energy flow within you. Mm-hmm. And what happens generally is that you lose something. So we're talking about loss. And when you lose this energetic connection with the sky and basically with other people, then now you're isolated. And a lot of symptoms, like say with depression, kind of mimic that, where people push away when they isolate. Schizophrenia the same way. Other disorders the same way. And it's like this lack of connection is really evidence of a disruptive energy pattern within an individual where they are not now able to connect with other human beings around them. I've seen people, I've got a couple of clients right now that prefer to be around animals because they don't trust people because of that trauma, right? Mm. Yeah. And so it's this reconnecting piece that is so powerful. It's this reconnect, and actually it's a deep feeling about that. I've noticed within myself and with my clients, when it comes to shall I reach out?
Yeah.
Shall I reach out and try this again, basically? Because the trauma disconnected them in the first place.
Right.
Whether you want to identify with the trauma or not, the fact that it happened created this chasm, if you will, to where now you've been forced to or made a decision to because you need to save yourself. And I call it Rachel survival.
Yeah.
So you go into survival mode, and so you disconnect. You disconnect. You pull in. And so that creates even more trauma because I believe that we're all created to connect with each other.
Yeah.
You know, and as people who are loving and encouraging and nurturing beings, that's what we do. Hey, you know, I even talk about animals and plants. Did you know that plants connect with each other? Trees, when they communicate through their root systems, they actually can talk to each other. Sounds strange, but they do.
It's true.
Yes.
My honey is a gardener. He's always talking about this stuff.
Oh, my God. And, you know, the idea about talking to your plants. I got into this conversation with somebody else the other day.
Yes.
I think at the hospital. Yeah. So all of that stuff works. And I'm like, okay, I've noticed that in nature. And I'm like, this is a problem for us, especially those of us who have been wounded and go through life in that wounded state. Also, and I didn't mention it to you before, but I also talk about how this lack of break and connection creates an emotional response also in the psyche. So when you have this disconnection or this disconnectedness, a lot of times your emotional state increases exponentially. And when that happens, there's yet now another disruption. And so in the body. And so my whole work is to pull these disruptions back and allow people to venture out and express themselves in safe ways and try to reconnect with people, safe people, though.
Mm-hmm.
People who are safe, people who are, and I don't, you know, I talk about the gut and how you are able to gauge now, Rachel, how you are to reach out to other people who are safe. And, you know, the gut's 99.9% right when it comes to judging who's okay and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's what I do.
So I feel like we need a whole nother podcast for this topic. Because there's so much richness in everything that you're sharing and saying there, Chris. First of all of those things that cause us to disconnect, just the trauma in and of itself creates a risk, an interior disconnection, a disconnection with self. And then when we go out into the world, we find it hard to connect with others around us, you know, having a hard time trusting, all of that shame stuff gets in the way of us being able to connect. And then this becomes a rinse and repeat pattern, right? So we connect with people who might not be that great with us. Our ability to listen to and understand our instincts is a little bit broken, and we need to repair that. But until then, you know, we find ourselves in harmful relationships or getting hurt, and then that further repeats this pattern of why connect, why reach out, why be with anyone. And connection, I am so in agreement with you, is at the root of our healing in so many ways. And so finding those little ways that we can step out and take it on and try it out and build some connections, I think is so foundational towards being able to heal.
Totally. Totally. 100%. And the idea that, you know, some people might try to reach out, but then they're the wrong people, I call it, because now you've introduced something that's historical when it comes to how did I relate to other people who now have hurt me in various types of traumatic ways. So you kind of almost, if you're not careful and following your gut and doing it in a way that's purposeful and meaningful, and kind of cautious because you don't want to reach out to just anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Follow your gut and say, okay, is this person safe for me to reach out? What does my gut tell me? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that to me means a lot. It takes practice.
Practice.
But once you get a good idea, a good feeling, and this has a lot to do with how I connect from the neck down, right? And
right.
How do I
right.
engage myself? You know, how do I engage myself? Because that's lost with the initial traumas and subsequent traumas also.
Right.
How do I engage myself? How do I trust myself? How do I start, use the big L word, love myself enough to afford this opportunity to reach out to trust, not the same old people, but the right people.
Yeah. I love that you're making that distinction, because one of the things that I see that I've experienced myself and I see in so many of my clients is that when we're in our head, our thought patterns have been so skewed as a result of trauma, you know, and our capacity to see everything through a negative lens, right? And see danger around every corner. I sometimes describe it like we see butterflies and we run away like in terror. And like we welcome the tigers on over.
Yeah.
It's like our risk meters are just, you know, back asswards. And so when we can start to notice when it's the negative thought and distinguish that from this is my gut telling me this is a bad situation, right? We have to be able to parse that out. And exactly as you said, it takes some practice. Is there any one little like tip that you can give? So anyone listening to this podcast, if they're like, okay, I hear the theory, I get the idea of it, what's something that I can actually start to do in my day-to-day walk that would help me with this? Is there any little tip that you can share with us before we wrap up?
Yes, and this is going to sound really strange. There's a couple of things. Well, one, take time to sit in the middle of a room in your space that you feel calm in and comfortable in, and either turn out all the lights or just close your eyes and practice identifying what's in the room without actually using your eyes. Yeah, trying to do that. That would take practice. But once you start tuning, now I call this tuning in.
Yeah. Okay.
So tune into the body, right? Tune in a specific way, using your gut to explore your immediate surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to feel without using your fingertips, but using your gut. And actually, this is a wonderful doctor, Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, wrote a wonderful book about doing all of these things. And the body keeps the score, I think the book title is. And so he talks about this, but I also learned it in school about felt sensing as a part, some of Carl Rogers' work. But anyway, feeling the room with your gut sense to see what does it feel like. And so by practicing that, you can literally tune your body to hone in on those particular senses that you have basically divorced yourself from when you were little. And causing you to tune in and to recognize what's going on in your space. And you practice that.
Powerful.
Practice that. And so this is more specific. Tune into what? Tune into the positive energy that surrounds you in the room.
Right.
And identify those. And that'll take time. So once you hone that skill, like any other skill, you'll become very good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that will launch you into so many other areas of spirituality that it will probably surprise you.
I love that, Chris. Thank you for sharing that that wonderful exercise and tool that you all can go out and start using right now to begin creating more more of a connection with self, I think, allows us to identify connection with others, maybe be open to that possibility more, whether that be higher power, God, universe, or other people. We need those connections in order to keep striving forward and keep healing, for sure.
Yeah.
Chris, it's been such a joy to talk with you today, and I know I've just like hit the tip of the iceberg of your wisdom and your knowledge on this, so I, you know, look forward to having you back again. But for everybody who's listening, you can connect with Chris after listening to the podcast today by going to christimescoach.wordpress.com. You can also email him at christimesma@gmail.com, and I'll be sure to put those in the show notes so you can access them easily. And definitely reach out to Chris. He does lots of in-person workshops. He's going to be having some virtual workshop offerings down the road in the future, so you don't want to miss on that. Out on that, you can continue to connect with him and learn from this great guy. So, Chris, thank you again so much for being my guest today.
Thank you, my pleasure.
Awesome. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in and joining us. Don't forget to visit rachelgrantcoaching.com to learn more about sexual abuse recovery coaching and check out the other resources that are there available on the site. And please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a note if you enjoy an episode. And come back next time because we have so much more to share. Then, take good care of you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.